time for the word. So who's been enjoying the love walk? Has that been helping a lot of people? Hey, today's message is, it's fruit before manifestation. We're not going picking fruit, but there's fruit before manifestation. But just want to touch on what this year is about, and the prophetic word for this year is that 2018 is the year of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm not sure if many people realize what the Holy Ghost and fire is all about, but it's going to do something. And people think that the fire is, hey, we're going to have a great time of celebration. Fire is about cleansing. Fire is about cleaning and burning away things that shouldn't be there. So the fire aspect of this is not about, well, we can feel this fire, and there was a sense of tongues of fire came and rested upon them, but the manifestation of fire is about cleansing. So it says, the big 18 for 2018, 9 fruits of the Spirit and 9 gifts of the Spirit. That time is not just coming, it's already here. But as his sons and daughters, we're going to have a spiritual explosion going on throughout 2018, particularly in the area of holiness and cleansing. And I had these up there for you the last 2 weeks, and it was the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and the 9 fruits. But the 9 fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I don't know about you, but because I was pretty well born in church, that was talked about a lot. It was talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And it was almost talked in a way that this was the weak Christians that would have these sort of things. Gentleness, self-control, peace. But I can tell you, this is the strongest Christians demonstrating these things. And when we really go through this whole series, you'll understand that these are the amazing forces of the Holy Spirit coming towards you with such a force. And when you get into these areas, force of the Spirit is released in your life. So we're going to see that. And the 9 gifts of the Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, and working of miracles. Who wants those gifts? Who wants the fruits? Okay. So it's fruit before manifestation. Or fruit before the Spirit. Fruit before the gifts. So let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29. And the Apostle Paul is posing a question here. And he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? And he's talking about the gift of tongues that would bring a message. Do all interpret? But it says, he's asking a question. Can anyone answer that for me this morning? The answer is no. No, not everyone does not have all these gifts. But then it goes on to say, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And it's referring to these as the best gifts. So the thing is to earnestly desire the best gifts. And so I've said this, for a fair while in my time with the Lord. I give myself to the gifts of healing, working of miracles, to special faith. I give myself the word of knowledge at a high revelation, because I've heard some pretty weak words of knowledge. So I want to hear words of knowledge that are a high revelation. I give myself to discerning of spirits. I give myself to prophecy. I give myself to the word of wisdom. I yield to it and I give myself to it. And that's all good. But the Lord said this, it's good and we should desire earnestly to be used in these areas. But you are not applying enough attention to the 9 fruits of the Spirit, because that's the focus. That's been the focus really in church, that who's going to desire to move in this area? Who's going to be desiring to move in that area? And that's almost been the thing that we should be desiring earnestly above all to do these things. But we have to give attention to the nine fruits of the Spirit because they're like a rock, and the fruits of the Spirit are like this rock that underpin, that come under the gifts of the Spirit. That's what they're like. So the fruits of the Spirit underpin the gifts of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes on and he says this in verse 31, "And yet I will show you a more excellent way." So one way is to desire the gifts. But the Holy Spirit says, "I want to show you a more excellent way." There is a way, and that's desiring. But he says, "I want to show you a more excellent way, the preferred way, the way that is the way of the Spirit." He wants to show us how to do these things. So desiring earnestly the best gifts of the Spirit is good. And we should desire that. But there's a more excellent way to get in touch with these things. And the way that he wants to show us is a way that will cause the gifts to be released with greater power and greater potency in our life. Because there's been people that have moved in the gifts of the Spirit, but there's been weaknesses in their lives. And what we've seen, that the anointing runs out. Things, issues happen. Sin comes in because there wasn't the fruits of the Spirit in manifestation. They weren't walking in that area. Oh, they were gifted, but they fell. That would tell me that they've desired something earnestly and the Holy Spirit responds to that. But underneath, there was nothing underneath that hold them up. And so the end was worse than the beginning. And we can all know of ministries that have been anointed greatly but have failed in the end. So the Holy Spirit says, "I want to show you a more excellent way, a more sure way, a way that you can, you know, that will underpin your ministry for your life. That's what I want to show you." That's what he's saying. "And yet I'll show you a more excellent way." Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And it says here, and I want to show you this because the gifts by themselves, without what we're going to talk about, don't accomplish anything. "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever had a child that's learning drums, and I have, so being a drummer, but as you're training the children, all they like to do is whack that cymbal, and it doesn't sound great. It gets you on nerves after a little while. And that's what it's referring to, you know, right like this. If you don't have love, although you can speak with the tongue of angels, it's going to sound like somebody's beating that cymbal, you know, out of time. It's not right. It's not in sync. "Although I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, all faith, so that I can remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have no love, it profits me nothing." You might say, "Michael, what are you saying? Are you saying that although I have the best gifts of the Holy Spirit functioning in my life, although I can speak in the tongues of angels, I have the gift of prophecy functioning in my life, I have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and I can understand all mysteries, and even if I have special faith that I could move mountains, and people will say, this guy is amazing. Look at all the things he can do. And if I give all my income and my possessions to the poor," and which, by the way, gets God involved, "as soon as I give to the poor, God's indebted to me. So if I'm giving to the poor, God says, well, that's my debt to you. And if I give my body to martyrdom, it will not be credited to my account, and I will not profit from it if it's not based on love." All those amazing things will have no profit to my account if it's not founded on love. That's pretty amazing. I wonder how many people have operated in those gifts and it's not profited to their account. I don't know about you, I want things profited to my account. I want them to come to me and God said, well done, good and full of faith servant. No, I'm not saying that, God's saying it. So it's not me just saying this. This is what God has said. It will not be profited to your account if you don't base it on love. See, I can't emphasize enough, love is the foundation for advancement in the kingdom. So practice love on purpose. And love one another, even if it hurts. That's how important it is. You know, when you're hurting, it hurts to love other people. What happens when there's hurts in your life and there's issues in your life, it's very hard to love somebody else and it's going against the grain. But this is so important that we have to die to self and say, no, I want those things functioning in my life. Even though there's embarrassment, even though there's issues, I'm going to love other people because it's so important. It's so important. You know, I want to encourage you again just to go back and listen to the last 2 weeks' messages on the walk of love. No matter what, and stay on the love walk. Stay on this line. You know, don't deviate from that line to the left or the right. It's so important that we stay on this line. Very, very important to go into this year, staying on that love walk. You know, remember that when you stay on that line, the enemy can't see you. You're invisible because you're hidden in Christ. When you stay in love, all the enemy can see is Jesus, the anointed one, his anointing in your life. He can't see you, but as soon as you step out of that line, the enemy comes with his attacks, the fiery darts of the enemy, because he can see you. If you can see an enemy, you can shoot them. If you can't see them, they're hidden. You don't fire off anything. So the enemy cannot touch you if you stay in love. If you step out of love, you'll realize that the enemy's on the attack. And you'll wake up and you think, what's going wrong in my life? Go back to where you deviated from love. Go back, forgive, repent. Get back on that love, that line, quickly, as quick as you can, so you're hidden in Christ. So, today I want to speak to you. That was just an introduction. But today I want to speak to you regarding the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, one and the same. Some reason we don't want to say Holy Ghost anymore. So it's more modern to say Holy Spirit. But all the old timers said Holy Ghost because ghost has got that impression of something that was scary. But the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, so important. And I want to talk to you about him, and I want to sort of talk about how he's been restricted or even vetoed in many churches today. And this is the day where he needs to be in the forefront if we're going to accomplish what he's called us to do. But he's been put aside. And there's a culture that's crept into the church or into some churches where they want to be secret friendly, and they were sort of, what that means is that the church wants to put on a picture of who they are, but it's not really who they are. We want to put a picture up that we're pretty cool people, and that we've got really cool music, and we have all these things happening. We don't want to show you what's really in the back room. We don't want to really show you what we believe. So we're going to put a picture up of what we want you to think we look like, so that we don't offend people. Certainly don't want to speak in tongues. We don't want people to think that we're different. And what we've done, we've cut out the Holy Spirit out of our services, whether he should be in the forefront of what we're doing. You know, these manifestations of the Holy Spirit are for a reason, not to be hidden. Some church people are actually embarrassed about what the world would think if they knew we had the Holy Spirit in our meetings. And these are the same people that would say, You're never going to know what God's going to do. Oh, yes, we do. The Word says, it tells me that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you don't know what He's going to do, you haven't read the Word. Because you know what He's going to do, because He'll always respond to His Word. So if you don't know what He's going to do, get back in the Word and it will tell you what He's going to do. Every time, He'll respond to the word of faith. He'll respond to what you say. You know what He's going to do. And He, not only that, He wants to tell you in advance what He's going to do. He is always will want to tell His servants what He's about to do. So if you don't know what He's going to do, number one, you haven't been listening, you haven't been in the Word, you're ignorant. You're not going to be ignorant here, because you'll know what God's going to do based on what His Word is. So we have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to trust and rely upon the leading of the Holy Spirit if we want to do what He's called us to do. He is the administrator of grace. He is one who's responsible to bring into manifestation the things that have already been done for us. It's His responsibility. He is so important. We've got to understand that this is the day of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had His day. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He sent somebody to represent Him, the Holy Spirit. So important we understand this. And John 14, verse 25 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is there to take what Jesus said and to reinforce it again. He sent to us right now. So who should you be asking for wisdom from? The Holy Spirit. That's His job. It's not the job of Jesus. He said, "My work is done. It's finished. I'm sending you the Helper. I'm sending the Helper to help us." The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and it was the same with Jesus. So Jesus was completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 14:10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" The Father in me. I want you to hear that. The Father in me. Where's the Father right now? Anyone want to tell me? So the Father's in heaven, but here Jesus says the Father's in Him. So it's interesting, he's saying, how can the Father be in Him if the Father is in heaven? He has to be speaking about the Holy Spirit. He had to be speaking about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of God. The Father is in heaven. But here he is saying that the Father in me, so he's saying, I refer to the Holy Spirit as the Father. So we don't have to seek the Father some way up in the heavenly some way. It's in us already. It's great to know that the Father is in you. I don't know if you've understood that before, but Jesus did. He said, "The Father in me." If you see me, you've seen the Father, because the Father's in there. The Father dwelling in Him was the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So Jesus was raised up by the Father. The Father raised Him up by the Spirit. And the Spirit in Him, the Spirit in us, the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So if you can get your understanding, your heart, to understand the immensity of that statement, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power living in you. That's why you need to speak to your sickness. You need to speak to your issue. And so I'm calling on the same power that raised Christ from the dead to resurrect this issue in my body. because the Father's in you. It's there. If you have the Father dwelling in you, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We have the Spirit of the Father living on the inside. You know, there's that song that the Newsboys do, God's not dead. You've probably heard that. You know, he's living on the inside, he's roaring like a lion. And I can tell you that God, the Father's not dead. Jesus is not dead. He's on the inside, roaring like a lion. So I'll keep telling you, this year we've got to go more on the inside. We've got to be inside-minded, because that's where the power of God resides. You know, don't go looking up there for it. Don't go saying, well, the power is coming down. No, the power of God is within us. We've got to go in here to release the power of the Holy Spirit. When you want to answer from God, go inside. Because that's your spirit communicating to the Holy Spirit, who's always searching the deep things of the Father. The Holy Spirit is this amazing being that searches what's in the Father continually and reveals those treasures to us. So we go inside to find out what the answer is. Go inside. All the time, go inside. Matthew 4 and verse 1. And that says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So just prior to that, he was baptized in the Jordan by John, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the first thing the Holy Spirit did was lead him. See, now the Holy Spirit was on the inside. And the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, I don't imagine my first thought was that the Holy Spirit would lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, that wasn't my first thought. Natural thinking, because you know there's a prayer we pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Well, we'll find out. You may change your mind on that one. Now, the temptation that most people think was turning the stones into bread. You know, that's the most thing that we think about. But that wasn't a temptation. Remember what the Word tells us, that the Spirit was sent to convict the world of righteousness? Do you remember that scripture? Let's flick that one up in the John 16:8. This is what the Holy Spirit was saying. He says, when he comes, this is Jesus speaking, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin, about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. So every sin is a result of bad behavior, which is a result of the sin of not believing in him. So the sin really is the sin of not believing. Interesting, when you break down what sin is, you see the bad behavior, but the sin is not believing. Let me explain this to you. If you're not a tither, the Holy Spirit is actually not going to convict you about not tithing. He will convict you about not trusting God with your finances. He won't come to say, you naughty, not tither person. He's going to convict you about, where's your trust? How come you not rely upon me for your financial area? That's the conviction. You're not trusting God. I don't trust God enough to tithe. The tithing is just the outworking. It's just the thing you're seeing, the end of it. But really, the issue is your trust with your finances. That's the issue. And that's where the Holy Spirit will come and convict you. Why aren't you trusting me? When I said, I will provide. So we get down to it, the fruit of it is that I'm not going to tithe, I'm going to hold back, but really the hard issue is not trusting in God as your provider. You know, when you study on this area, the fruit of the sin is not what the Holy Spirit's concerned about. It's a hard one to think, because that's the first thing we look at. We look at the sin and not the root. So when you look at, see, the Holy Spirit wants to fix it at the root. And when somebody steals, the Holy Spirit will convict him of not believing that God will provide. Because really, that person who's stealing is saying, if I don't get it, I'm never going to get that at all. So I need to steal it. At the root of that, they don't believe that God can provide. It's the root that the Holy Spirit wants to come on. So we see here that he's dealing with the area of unbelief. And this is where Satan comes and he tempts Jesus by saying, if you are the Son of God, you see what he's trying to get at? If you are the Son of God, trying to bring a question, turn the stones into bread. Now, God already had spoken and declared to Jesus that this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It was only probably 30 days prior or 40 days prior that he said that, because he's in the wilderness 40 days. And right before he went there, he declared openly, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus knew who he was. There was no need for Jesus to prove to anyone that he was a beloved Son. And the same goes for you too. If you are a beloved child or beloved Son of God, there's no need for you to convince anyone who you are, because God has already spoken to you. He's already told you. And we see this when in Matthew 3 and verse 16, when Jesus was baptized, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Not he was a dove. Get that out of your mind. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. You see a dove, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's just a dove, just a bird. You know. He came down, alighted gently on him. The same way that a dove descends. A dove's not a hawk, it comes down, swooping down. The dove is very gentle and it comes down gently. And that's what the Holy Spirit, he came down gently upon Jesus. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Satan heard it. That's why Satan wanted to question it. And that's what he does. When the word of the Lord comes, Satan comes to steal that word. When you're at the weakest point, he comes to steal the word. That's why he came to him when he had his weakest point at the end of the 40-day fast, when his body was starting to break down. That's where he came, that temptation. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He wanted him to question if he was the Son of God or not. He wants you to question whether you're saved or not. He'll come to question, how can you be saved when you do all these things? How can the Spirit of God be living on the inside when you have these issues? He wants to bring back to remembrance the sin. He wants to come back, but you've got to say, no, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You've got to come back with the Word of God on this. I am a child of God. I know who's living on the inside of me. He's actually roaring like a lion. And that's where your response has to be in these areas. So there's no need for Jesus to convince anyone. He didn't need to have proof. And he didn't need to do that. So when you meditate on the Word and believe that you've been healed, and you say that you've been healed, if you believed you've been healed, you don't have to convince anyone else that you've been healed. You'll get people. You get the naysayers coming up. Well, how come you're healed and I can still see you've got that cough? And then you have to go back and try and prove. No, I'm healed. You either know you're healed or you don't. So you don't have to go and prove. No, I'm healed. I don't need to convince you. I'm healed. I've got his word. I'm standing on his word. Every day, I'm claiming that word. I'm speaking. I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And the manifestation of that healing will come. It won't be because you're trying to convince somebody. You already are fully persuaded. See, that's what Abraham had. Abraham was fully persuaded that God's promise was true. He was fully persuaded. He was a father of nations. And everyone around him was not convinced, because they could see he was not. He had no children. He had no heir But he, as the word says, he was fully persuaded at the age of 99, fully persuaded. He looked like an old fool to many people, but he was persuaded. He did not approve one thing. And when his cup was full and the time was right, it overflowed. Fully convinced. Let me show you a video that's going to help you do this. Watch this little video. And this is what I believe confession and faith is like. It's like this. It's like every time you confess you're healed, or every time you think your cup is being full, your spirit, your heart, it's going into your heart. What's happening? Things are coming into your heart bit by bit. Every time you confess the word, it comes in. Now, people on the outside can't see the evidence, but it's going into your heart. It's coming in, and you're just meditating on this word. You're meditating the word until your cup gets full, until your spirit is full. And when your spirit is full, that is when you can confess. That's when you see the manifestation of it. So it's just like this cup is being filled up with water in the natural here. It's the word going into your heart until it gets to a place where that is so full, it can't contain it anymore. And what comes out of your spirit is the manifestation of your healing, or the manifestation of what you've been believing for. And then it gets to a place where it keeps on, and then the overflow comes. And that's when the evidence is then seen. Faith is released at that point, and it happens in your life. Keep filling that cup. So stay in faith. Keep letting it be filled. I thought that might be a good little video to help you on that. See, this is amazing. And in Matthew 4:1, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let me say to you this. The Holy Spirit knows the necessary courses that you have to go through to be prepared for your mission. He knows the courses that you have to go through. And the Spirit will lead you into a situation. Into a situation where the enemy will tempt you. He will lead you into that area. See, the Holy Spirit knows the route you have to travel in order to be prepared for a successful mission. Jesus trusted his partner, the Holy Spirit, to lead him into the wilderness. He trusted him in that, but he came out empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was in that situation in the wilderness where he was led in there to spend time with the Holy Spirit, to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit, and the enemy tempted him there. The enemy came and tempted him. But he came out empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, don't get frustrated when you find yourself in a difficult situation. But trust the Holy Spirit is going to use that situation to benefit you. To benefit you. So you can have a successful mission. There's lots of roads that you can travel on the way to what God wants you to do. You know, there's going to be many, many opportunities, and some will take the wrong road. Some will take a road that's left less traveled, but some will take the wrong road, make a wrong decision. Holy Spirit will always want to keep you back on the line. He always wants to get you back on that pathway. He'll always bring you back, even though you've taken that. And you'll get into difficult situations that you find yourself, but stop complaining. Stop moaning and say, well, it's okay for Pastor Michael and Susan. They seem to have everything all nice. Yeah, the house is in order, all these sort of things. No, you haven't traveled down the road that we've traveled. So don't go looking at other people. You don't know the situation or things that God's led them down, and the trials that they've been led into. And the Holy Spirit does lead us into those things. And at times when you're in the middle of those things, you say, Lord, how come I'm here? How come you allowed this? And he says, I want you to be strengthened for the next level. See, God knows what you're going to have to tackle that down the road. So he's preparing you right throughout your walk. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. You don't know what they've had to endure. And I can tell you, normally the higher calling, the deeper the issues that you've got to go through. So I can tell you, you wouldn't want the issues that we've had to deal with. No way. No way would you want to do that. Just stop complaining and start changing it. You know, learn to how to be content wherever you are. Because some things are not going to change, you have to change. You know, don't complain about your situation. Just change. You know, over the years, we've had people come to us and they've complained about the house that they live in. And we've had that especially when they've come into one of our houses or something like that. They say, how come you've got a nice house or whatever? And they start to complain about their house. But I say to them, just start. Stop complaining and start fixing things up. And you're, instead of complaining about how small the house is or how dirty it is or how ugly it is, just learn to clean it up. I've got a little picture up here of a house. Now, that's not anyone particular's house. I just put it up for you to help you. But, you know, somebody could be in the house and they could complaining, look, it's too small, too old. And I've had people over the years, you know, complaining about these areas. And you know, I would tell right now, just start where you are. Start putting a bit of paint on it. Just start putting a little paint on the back, on the front, wherever that it needs it. Just get rid of some clutter. Start to learn how to do some things on your own. You know, a lot of people tell me, I don't know how, I'm not handy like you are. No, just learn to start doing a couple of things. Just change a door. They're not very expensive. Change a window out. Look on the internet how to do it. Just start to do some things in the natural. Start complaining. And then go out and maybe rip some carpet up, change the carpet, put some tiles down. And after a while, you begin to notice that old house is no longer the shack, and now it starts to look new. And I've got another picture of the same house, transformed. Same house, just transformed. Because somebody decided that they needed to change. And when they changed, things around them change. You know, my wife's always changing stuff in the house. You know, she doesn't want it this way, so she changes it out. So, change. But we've got to learn to be content of where we are so God can bless us. God can't bless when we're complaining all the time. It's just a practical thing. See, the situation hasn't changed, but you've changed. What's happened? When you change your situation, you changed. When you change yourself, your situation just gets better. Now, sometimes that's just your own self and your own outlook, but oftentimes what's happening, you've changed and your sphere has changed. You've changed things around you. You know, I look at the life of David, and he could have complained about being the youngest of 8 siblings. Now, you've got to have an understanding of what it meant to be the youngest of 8 siblings. I mean, even in those days, the firstborn was it. Everything was about the firstborn. That was the son of promise. This is the one that was going to do everything. This is one who was probably educated. Now, when you might be the second, you might get a little bit more favor than some of the others, but when you're number eight, all he was told to do was go and look after the sheep. You're right, Eddie. But he didn't complain. You find David spending that time, that opportunity, learning how to worship. That's where he became a worshiper, when he's out with the sheep. No one around. You know, he learnt to have a relationship with God, even when he wasn't sent to uni or sent to those other things. He was the one doing the sheep. And that's where I believe he developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him to come up against a lion. See, that was his first trial. Now, most of us said, Lord, why did this lion come out and try to get the sheep? Don't you know who I am? No, but he was led there for a lion. He was led there. Then the bear. most of us would be really complaining now. You know, we've had to come up against a bear. You know, don't you know? But no, every time he used faith in the Holy Spirit to develop that, because God was preparing him for Goliath. He's preparing him for something far greater. And he did this when nobody knew him. You notice he did the lion and the bear and Goliath. Nobody knew him. Not one person knew that he was had any potential. His brothers certainly didn't. They said, go back home. Go back to those sheep. Get back to the outback and go and hide yourself with the sheep. But no, the Holy Spirit, now is the time for you to be exposed, because it's the power in you. It's the power in you. And that's what it is. When he came out against Goliath, we know that this was somebody who was defying the God of the army of Israelite. That was against God himself, and he declared what was going to happen. So we have to be content right where we are now, and contentment out of that contentment will come godliness, the fruits of the Spirit. Godliness, the fruits of the Spirit, is demonstrating what's in God's heart. God has got peace, love, joy, long-suffering. All these things are the attributes of God, and to be like God, the Holy Spirit wants you to find these things. So out of that will come these things. And you might be saying, well, I have to get over into my ministry. I need to do that quickly, but nobody knows me. I never get noticed. I don't get introduced to the right people. No, just stay hidden in Christ. Just stay hidden in Him. And at the right time, He will anoint you with the right gift for that time. He will do it. Just trust Him. Follow His leading. Don't try and push open doors, because the Holy Spirit is leading you where the door is open. You find that there's no one who pushed a door open in the Bible. The Word says, and the God said, behold, I put before you an open door. So we don't have to go pushing doors down. We don't have to go ring, 50 people and say, look, here I am, this is my ministry calling. This is what God's given me. Can you got an opportunity? No, it's an open door. The Holy Spirit. Stay hidden in Christ, and He will direct your path. He will lead you to a place that you should go. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death, but no, nothing touches you. 1,000 can fall at your right hand, 1,000 at your left, but nothing happens to you. You're hidden in Christ, because you're staying in love. You're staying in that love walk. At the end of the day, I want to be able to say to Jesus, mission accomplished, with the help of the Holy Spirit. I just followed His leading. And He will say, well done, you good and full of faith servant. You did what you did. And I don't care what it is. If the Holy Spirit only says for you to do one thing, that's the thing you should be doing. So never get discouraged. Stay in faith. Stay where you are. Keep filling your cup. Stay there until the time for God wants it to overflow. You know, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22 says this. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it's better to obey than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So the obedience is the most important thing than putting your life on the line. Obey Him. John 5 and verse 19. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Led by the Spirit. He knew how to be led by the Spirit at all times. We've got to come to a place where we know that we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit, who do we think we are to try and minister and do these things by ourselves? No. It's going to be nothing. It's not to be attributed to our account unless we stay in that love walk. That's the most excellent way that we can do it. Don't seek the gifts, but seek the giver, who is the Father in you, the Holy Spirit. You know, where we're going this year as a church, we're going to need the fruits of the Spirit, which is the power forces that no enemy can touch. Now, you know what the fruits of the Spirit are, because we said them. They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let this be the hallmark of what God wants to do in our lives. Stay in that love walk, whatever it is, stay on that line and don't deviate one. So if there's anything that you have against somebody, get it fixed real quick. Hey, let's stand together. I got one song to sing and then we're just going to close with that song. But I just want you to meditate on what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's the Father in you and He wants to fill you up with His Spirit. Thank you. Let's stand together. Is this a song? Yeah.